babies are being. Amen. We got little Hannah back there, and she's just looking at Auntie Angie. Amen. Just staring at her and laughing and laughing and laughing. And then you got little Landon over there. Is he sleeping? He's watching, you know, and I'm surprised he's not crying. Amen. You know, you just never know, Brother Bill. Amen. Amen. Psalm 119, would you stand with me? If you're physically able, Brother Bill, you may remain seated there, okay? All right, that's up to you. Amen. All right, Psalm 119, and we're going to read verses 121 through 128. We're moving right along here, folks. Amen. It's hard to believe, just 8 verses at a time. And the title of our lesson tonight, it is called, It Is Time for Thee, Lord, to Work. And you'll see that phrase. We'll read responsively Psalm 119, verses 121 to 128. And as is our custom, let's read responsively. I'll read the odd-numbered verses. Would you read the even-numbered verses with me through verse 128? I have done judgment and justice. Leave me not to mine oppressors. Be surety for thy servant for good. Let not the proud oppress me. Mine eyes fail for thy salvation and for the word of thy righteousness. Deal with thy servant according unto thy mercy and teach me thy statutes. I am thy servant. Give me understanding that I may know thy testimonies. It is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. Therefore, I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Father, again, please bless your word now. Thank you for it, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. If you've got your outline there, your handout, we continue our study in Psalm 119, following the Hebrew alphabet, and that letter is Samech, and that's capital S, capital A, capital M, capital E, capital C, Samech, by observing, trusting, and trembling. In verse chapter 119, verses 113 through 120. Okay, 8 verses there. And in that passage, just by way of review, the reader can easily see the psalmist's trust. Okay, in verses 113 through 117, we see the psalmist's trust. And remember, we talked about there how he hated the vacillating there. 113 says, I hate divided mind, divided. God wants us to be of one mind about Him, trusting Him. And by the way, He knows us. He knows our frailties. He knows our doubts and our fears. But if there's one thing we can trust, my anchor holds. Amen. So we talked about the vacillating there. Then we talked about the victory in Psalm 114. What is the victory there? Well, it says, Thou art my hiding place and my shield. It's through God that we have victory. If you depend on yourself for victory, I've got very bad news for you. You're going to be defeated. But through God, He is our hiding place. When we need a place to run to, we can run to Him. And then when we can't make it to the hiding place, we can pick up the shield. Amen. And fight off the enemy there. So our victory. And then thirdly, blank line there, the vacillating, the victory. We looked at the virtue, verses 115 through 117. And we talked about to remain virtuous, He acknowledged His need for three things. Separation, depart from me, ye evildoers. The New Testament sister verse to that is, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Then also, not only separation, but the Scriptures in verse 116. Uphold me according to thy word, that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. So the Scriptures, very important. Virtue. The word virtue in the New Testament, we think about it there in 2 Peter chapter 1, where it says, add to your faith. The first thing after we receive Christ that God wants us to add to our faith is virtue. In the New Testament, it means moral purity. That God wants us, because we are saved, to walk as Christians and to be morally pure. So to do that, we need separation, we need the Scriptures, and we need support. Verse 117, hold thou me up, and I shall be safe. I remember the first sermon I ever preached. Boy, it was awful. I mean, it was bad. It was doctrinally wrong, Brother McGee. I mean, it was bad. I said, it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of living God. And that's in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 31. I said, it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of living God, but you can trust God. Can I tell you this? That's not what that verse means, knowing a little bit later. Thank God he knows our zeal. Amen. We want to preach the Word of God. But it is true, isn't it, though, that He holds us up. When you get to the place where you just feel like you can't go on, hold thou me up. Hold thou me up. We need God's support. So we looked at the psalmist's trust. Then we looked at the psalmist's trembling. Bullet point there. Psalmist trembling because of God's two things. Because of God's justice and because of God's judgment. It caused the psalmist to tremble. So in our text here in verses 121 through 128, the beset psalmist grows impatient and presumes to tell God not only what he must do, but also when he must do it. He says there in chapter 119, look down at verse number, 126? What does he say? It is time for thee, Lord, to work. Okay, so he tells God what to do. And I have just a little note here. But we would never do that, would we? How would you say, I need this and I need it right now? Amen. Now, thank God again. We serve a God. He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are but dust. The Lord pitieth them that fear Him. Okay? But it's funny sometimes what we tell God He needs to do. I think He knows what He needs to do. I love what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 when He's talking about worry. Now, I know you would never worry, but you get concerned, don't you? Which is a Christian word. That's what that is. And Jesus said, look, does God feed the birds? And then He takes the time and He says, look, just look at it. You know, He's given, Jesus was a master illustrator, by the way. He said, look at all those birds. Not one of them thought about and worried about whether they're going to get their food today. Does God fed them? And then He says, are you not much better than the fox? He says, hey, see that flower in there? You know that flower didn't do anything to be that beautiful. God's the one who clothed that flower. And that flower is more beautiful than Solomon? You think God cares more about that flower than He cares about you? No. You're more valuable than the flowers. You're more valuable than the fowls. And what does He say? He said, look. He said, don't worry about all these extra things. Your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Thank God for that. Amen. Our Heavenly Father knows that. So he, like a lot of us, gets a little impatient with the psalmist here. So first of all, number one, we see the serious concern. We see the serious concern. And that's in verses 121 through 124. He wanted God to act. He wanted God to act in really in three areas here. First of all, he wanted God to act in government. And I don't mean in the government, but in governing his life. He says there in verse 121, I have done judgment and justice. Leave me not to mine oppressors. That there are these that are oppressing me. There are these that are coming against me. And I haven't done the wrong thing. I've done the right thing. And God, I just need you involved, and I need you governing in my life. Have you ever felt that way? You ever felt, boy, gee whiz, I did the right thing, and boy, all this bad stuff happened. David, God, are you governing? Are you still on the throne? And the answer to that is
that is yes. Yes.
Our feelings betray us, don't they? Huh? Our feelings betray us. We feel like, where's God in this? And so he had his serious concern was he wanted God to act in government. But then also, verse 122, he wanted God to act as a guarantor. As a guarantor. G-U-A-R-A-N-T-O-R. It says there, be surety for thy servant for good. Let not the proud oppress me. By the way, one of the principles in Proverbs regarding money is not to be surety for your friend. You say, what does that mean? I guess in our modern vernacular, you would say this, don't co-sign. Huh? You know what God says? If you do, you're responsible for it. If you do, you're responsible. If they need the debt, it's your debt. And here what he's saying here is, God, I want you to be surety for me. You be my anchor. You be the one there. That's the guarantor. And thank God, God is the guarantor of his promises. If he said it, he'll do it. Thank God for that. By the way, without that, do we really have hope of salvation? He said it. He'll do it, and all God's people said. So he has a serious concern. He wants God to act in government, wants God to act as a guarantor. But then he wants God to act with grace. Verses 23 and 24, he says, mine eyes fail for thy salvation, and for the word of thy righteousness. Deal with thy servant according unto thy mercy, and teach me thy statutes. And the first thing there we see, A, under grace, is he wanted God to act with grace in saving him. He says, mine eyes fail for thy salvation. There's a pretty vivid illustration here. If you could imagine with me a man who's perhaps shipwrecked on an island, and maybe he's been there a day or two, and he is scavenged and found things, but his eyes, Brother Kelly, are always on the horizon. He's always looking for a sail. Maybe I'll see a sail today. And he's looking, and the illustration here that he gives, he says, my eyes fail for thy salvation. I'm just looking for you to show up, God. I'm looking for you to save me, to deliver me out of this situation. But not only with grace in saving him, but with grace in strengthening him. In verse 124 there, it says, deal with thy servant according unto thy mercy, and teach me thy statutes. I thank God for that verse in the New Testament. I think it's 1 Peter 2:2 that says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may what? Grow thereby. I've learned in the Christian life that God doesn't give us less burdens. Somebody say amen. But he doesn't give us less burdens. He doesn't give us less burdens. But what he does is when we surrender to him and we get in his word and we get amongst God's people, that he strengthens us as we feed on his word. And what he does, if we can say it this way, he doesn't lessen our burdens, he strengthens our shoulders. And he strengthens our spiritual back that we can bear up. And hear what David is saying here. He said, I need your strength, God. I need you to strengthen me according to your testimonies there. So he says, deal with thy servant according to thy mercy, and teach me thy statutes. Why? For strength, that I could, the serious concern he had. So, number one, the serious concern. Number two, and I love this, in verse 125. I've got this verse all highlighted and marked and asterisked and everything else. It says, I am thy servant. Boy, what a great sermon that is. Give me understanding that I may know thy test. I am thy servant. Number two, number one is the serious concern. Number two is the sweet captivity. We studied the book of Jude. It's hard to believe it's been almost 5 years since we studied Jude on Wednesday nights. Jude starts off with Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ. Now, that Jude was the half-brother of Jesus. Now, that would have been pretty impressive to write a letter that way, say, Jude, the half-brother of Jesus. But he said, I'm the servant of Jesus Christ. You study that word, it's a Greek word, doulos, and it means bond slave. Remember that in the Old Testament, it's in Exodus, where in the year of Jubilee, that slaves, those that were house servants, could be released if they wanted to. It was part of the year of the Jubilee where they would say, you know what, you're free, you have your freedom. But if they wanted to, they could stay. And you remember what they did? It's kind of one of those things every time I read it, I cringe a little bit. They would take them over to a table, they would take an awl, and they would just make a hole in their ear. And what that said is, I love my master, and I want to stay. And here David says, I am thy servant. You know, our God, contrary to what the Calvinists say, doesn't make us do anything. He doesn't. So we have to be careful with our children, with our grandchildren. We don't have to go to church. We get to go to church. We don't have to go out calling. We get to go out calling. We don't have to make hospital calls. We get to make hospital calls. Why? Because we're his servant. David here, the sweet captivity. The sweet captivity. The serious concern. Number three, the soul complaint. What was his complaint? Well, two things about it. The soul complaint. He was daring. He was daring. It says there, it's time for thee, Lord, to work. It's time for thee to work. God doesn't mind bold prayer. He doesn't mind it one bit. Matter of fact, he told us in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, that he was that great high priest, and he tore the veil from top to bottom that we could come how? Boldly. Boldly to the throne of grace. And so he comes here, and it's a daring complaint. But it's also discerning. If you see the back half of the verse there, number two, discerning, why is it that he comes with this complaint? For they have made void thy law. Boy, that could be taken right out of the headlines of today's newspaper. People say the Bible's not relevant. People, they made void thy law. And so, Lord, please, we desire that you would work here in this situation. Work in our nation and work in our state and work in our town. And work, please, God, as soul complaint. We see number four, the significant complaint. And you see that there in verses 127 through 128. And you see it there. There's two things I want you to notice here. He said, therefore, I'm sorry, that should be command. I'm sorry, commandment. The significant commandment. It says, therefore, I love. Now, this is a very interesting therefore, because when you see a therefore, ask yourself what it's there for. It refers to the previous verse. The previous verse says, it's time for thee, O Lord, to work. They have made void thy law. Therefore, because they have made void thy law, I love thy commandments. Above gold, yea, above fine gold. First thing we see is the treasure that he loved. You know what he said there? He said, I love God more than gold. I love the Word more than all the world. That's rare. I just listened to an old radio program called The Greatest Story Ever Told. I know we've got some great guys. Anybody ever heard that program before on the radio? My goodness, wonderful. Just, I feel like, and they did a presentation out of where Jesus said, lay not up treasures on earth for walking on stuff throughout, where thieves break through and steal. And it was a story about this man who had gold, and he was going to a place, and the man on the ship knew he had gold, and
by the time he got to the end of the drum, he said, you know what, here, I've seen what real gold is the way you treat people.
Yeah.
He said here, his treasure was God's word. Not just having God's word, ladies and gentlemen. You see, listen to me. There's a lot of people that have God's word. What are we doing with God's word? See, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency may be of God and not of us. That God would take His word, use us to do His work is incredible. But He does. Amen. And so we see the treasure that He loved, and then the truth that He lived. In the second part there, verse 128. Therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right. I hate every false way. The truth that he lived was this. He said, you know what? I believe your word, and I'm going to live like I believe it. And I think that's what God wants out of each one of us. Amen. Not only to just take God's word and believe it in our head, but move it down 18 inches to our heart, that it moves us to action. You know, Jesus said about that wise man and the foolish man, there was only one difference between them. They both heard the word of God, but one built his house upon the rock, one built his house upon the sand. What was the difference? One was a doer of the word, and one was a hearer only. You know, in a church like this, if you come to Brother Becker's Sunday school class, and you come to Sunday morning service, and you come to Sunday night service, and you come to Wednesday night service, you hear a lot of Bible. But what are we doing with it? Amen. Do we care about our neighbor? Do we care about that lady who makes our coffee in the morning? Do we care about and fill in the blank there? Amen. He said, it is time for Thee, Lord, to work. Father, thank You. Pray that You please bless this simple lesson tonight. Thank You for our precious people tonight, Lord. I pray that You'd help us to, as we look at this, value Your word. Lord, to know that we can come to You in prayer and we can pour out our hearts to You and to know that You listen. Lord, I pray that You would work. We think of our nation. Lord, it seems like it's crumbling right beneath us. Lord, we know You're in control. Pray that You would work. I pray that You'd please bless now in our invitation time. Bless this time, Lord. We thank You for it. Thank You for all that You give. In Jesus' name, amen. How